0800 883 0702. Right, so there's an interesting study that has got underway some time ago. Researchers from the Medical Research Council and Wits University's Developmental Pathways for Health Research Unit have been running the South African leg of a particular study that actually covered a number of countries, South Africa, India, China and Canada. And an interesting article actually came out in The Conversation a few days ago about some of their findings. Now, essentially, this is a bit of data that they have gathered about the issue of women, specifically those living in Soweto, and the health challenges that they face simply because of a lack of access to exercise in that area. The worry, of course, is that they could contract all sorts of non-communicable diseases like diabetes, like hypertension, high blood pressure, and the like. And it's not that these women do not want to exercise, it's that many of them are really keen on doing it. But their social circumstances appear to prevent women living in that area from going ahead and actually being able to enjoy their exercise and do so in the freedom of the area in which they live. So I want to bring into the conversation the researcher who dealt with this particular aspect of it, Alessandra Prioreschi. Thank you so much for joining us. Alessandra, I know you are overseas at the moment, so I really do appreciate your time very much. Of course, you know, your study has shown over two-thirds of young women are overweight and obese, as per the article you wrote in The Conversation. And you're talking about how this predisposes them to the diseases like high blood pressure, diabetes and the like. But just give us a sense of this. I'm trying to determine for women who live in areas like Soweto, what actually holds them back from being able to exercise the way they would like to.
Hi, Joanne. Thanks. So, I mean, this study, like you've mentioned, was trying to understand those issues that women are facing. So we conducted focus groups with them and let them kind of tell us what they felt were the barriers or facilitators towards exercising and healthy eating. And the things that were kind of coming up consistently was access. So for both diet and physical activity, women were telling us that they don't have access to healthy foods because they're too expensive or because they don't have a lot of power over what gets bought in their home environments. And from a physical activity perspective, they mentioned that they don't have access to exercise equipment, gyms, or particularly safe spaces to exercise. Safety was a really big issue that came up for the young women that prevented them from being able to exercise.
All right, so I think you've given us a really good overview there. Let's drill down to some of these issues a bit. I mean, first of all, you've spoken about the issue of lack of access to healthy food. Can you just talk us through some of the factors that influence that access?
Okay, so a big one is definitely finances. The women were telling us that cheap foods, fast foods, very unhealthy foods are available on almost every single street corner. One of the quotes said something about the minute I open my gate to go to work, there's a fast food place across the road. So they have this immediate access to fast food and unhealthy food that's really affordable. And then the other option would be for them to travel quite significantly far out of their way to go and purchase something healthier, which is a lot more expensive. So they couldn't see the benefit of purchasing these healthier, more expensive foods when they could get very filling and cheap fast foods quite easily. So that was probably the main thing that came up. There were other women who really understood the importance of healthy eating and wanted to try and implement that, but they found it was quite difficult within their home environment. These women were 18 to 24, so a lot of them were still living with parents or caregivers, and they had this perception that their family members didn't know what healthy eating was. So they couldn't try and enforce these behaviors because it wasn't supported by their family, or because they weren't contributing financially to food purchases. Mm-hmm. Food insecurity is really high in this community. And so there was almost the sense of you get what you're given, you take what you can in terms of food.
Yes, and I see the fact that the women are telling you that they're dependent on relatives, largely male partners, to provide for them means they certainly don't have any say in what exactly what amounts are spent on food and what sort of food is bought to sustain the family.
Exactly. Yes, they were quite dependent in a lot of instances, and. Yeah, they found that that was very disempowering in terms of being able to choose their own healthy eating behaviors.
I see a lot of them really are committed to engaging in physical activity of one kind or another, but they don't really have places to go to. I see a lack of facilities really makes it difficult for them to take part in any exercise over a long period of time, because you know the facilities are neither close by nor secure.
Yeah, they did. There was a bit of a mixed message there. Some women did tell us that there were some facilities that were being established in the community, such as gyms and parks and kind of soccer fields. Other women told us there weren't those types of facilities. So I think it was quite dependent on the area they came from. But the overriding message was that if there were those kind of areas, they were very quickly vandalized and became unsafe. And also that exercise wasn't something that was prioritized in the community for women. So it was kind of a men's thing. There's lots of clubs for men, sports for men, whereas women were, it seemed like a waste of time for women to be exercising. That was the message they were getting from their families and community.
I mean, one of the things I found most worrying is the statement that they feel unsafe walking around in sports clothes like leggings or tights because they're afraid of being attacked or harassed.
Yeah, we got that kind of message quite extensively, quite a lot from the women. It's a very, very real fear. And based on data that we've collected previously, there is quite a high kind of exposure to violence and these types of crimes in this community. Almost every single woman mentioned some kind of fear around safety, particularly so being out on the streets, walking to catch a taxi. If they did have to catch a taxi to go to the gym because they aren't close by, that would be a safety issue. But also just around having to wear leggings in the streets to run would be almost, for lack of a better way of saying it, calling some kind of assault to them.
Yes, yes. And that's what we tend to do as women, to kind of normal or internalize that behavior as though it is our fault that we attract that kind of violence. Let me just ask you about this, because we know in a society like ours, and I suppose many places around the world, people who are obese are often body shamed for it. So you've got that on the one hand. On the other hand, one of your worries as researchers appears to be that obesity has become normalized in South Africa, and you believe that needs to be addressed. So how do we get that balance, Alessandra?
It is a very difficult thing and something that we've been thinking about quite a lot, because exactly like you say, I mean, we don't want to be body shaming. We want women to be body positive. Women in our article in our study did address this to a certain extent. But the problem is that being overweight or obese has very real repercussions on health. And so we need them to understand the health repercussions that they're facing while still being kind of accepting of their body, but not accepting to the point where they aren't trying to change these behaviors when it becomes detrimental. The problem that we saw is that women kind of only saw obesity as a problem when they were diagnosed with something. So either diabetes, hypertension, something related to that obesity. So they almost waited too late before they started trying to change their behavior or realize that it was problematic. We want them to understand those health risks before it becomes a problem. So we're not trying to shift that body positivity, but we do definitely want them to understand the health risks associated.
Thank you so much for speaking to us this afternoon. Very, very interesting and informative indeed. Dr. Alessandra Prioreschi, she is, in fact, the one who has actually participated in the study, and she wrote the article that was posted on the Conversation website. Very interesting indeed. I have actually retweeted the MRC WITS Developmental Department's tweet, Pathways for Health Research, and you can follow that article on that tweet.